In today's gospel, John the Baptist urges his disciples to follow Christ. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed there with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Max Lucado is a spiritual author, a Christian spiritual author who has written a number of books over the years. He tells this story about himself when he was 18 years old. It was the summer before he was going off to college, and he spent the summer working in the oil fields of West Texas. He says he was working with men who were hard-working, hard-drinking, and hard-swearing men, pretty roughneck group of men. And he said that at lunchtime, you know, they'd come down off their rigs or wherever they were working, and they'd get together in groups of 10, 15 people, and they'd eat lunch and talk. And oftentimes, one of the games they'd play at lunch was to see who of them could tell the best off-color story. Group of, you know, tough, hardworking guys. So one day they're all sitting there having lunch, and they see one of their supervisors coming over toward the group. So they think maybe the job has changed or something for the afternoon. The supervisor gets there, he looks at them for a minute, and he starts to talk, and he says, "Well, men, I just want to, I just want to let you know that there's a service at my church tonight." And Max Lucado said he couldn't believe it. This guy's talking to them about his church. And the man kind of, you know, hurries on and he says, "And I just want to let you know, if any of you'd like to come with me, you know, I'd be happy to have you come and, you know, just, I'll be happy, just let me know." And he leaves. As soon as he's out of their sight, they all laugh at him. They all laugh at him and make fun of him. But 2 years later, Max Lucado is a sophomore in college. And he's beginning to get this feeling that he should give his life over to Christ. You know why he doesn't for a bit? He hesitates. He's afraid of what his friends will say about him. He's afraid his friends will make fun of him, becoming holier than thou, becoming a Christian. But as he's having all those questions and doubts, he remembers that supervisor who 2 years before had come over to that group and had, whose faith in Christ was greater than his fear of being rejected. He said when he thought of that and remembered that, it made all the difference to him. And he came home to Christ himself. Betty Terry is a woman who lived down in Birmingham, Alabama during the height of the civil rights movement. She was there during the Birmingham bus boycott. And one day, she and some of her friends decided they were going to go down to the Birmingham City Jail because Martin Luther King Jr. was imprisoned there. He was going to be taken out and brought someplace else. They wanted to see him. So they go down to the jail, three or four of them. There's a whole bunch of people there, big crowd of people. And when Martin Luther King is brought out, the crowd starts yelling at him, screaming at him, cursing him, spitting at him. A couple of them are so close they can even hit him. And Betty Terry said, as she's watched all this, all of a sudden something clicked in her mind. She always had been a woman of faith. She believed. But at that point, she came to believe something even more, that your faith has to be shown in action. Your faith has to be shown in what you do. Just clicked for her. The next day, Betty Terry was arrested for protesting. Max Lesnau, Bob Lesnau, is a man who lives up in Minnesota. And one day he was traveling between two little towns on a job, and it was lunchtime. He stopped at this little diner. He'd never stopped there before, but he went in. It was kind of crowded. He sat at the counter. So he's having his lunch. All of a sudden, the man next to him taps him on the shoulder, and he turns. This man, middle-aged man, maybe a little older, looked like a college professor, he said. The man looks at him and says, "I want to see you in church." Now, Bob and his wife were living a pretty secular life, didn't have any time for that sort of thing. And the man says, "I want to see you in church." And Bob says to the man, "But I don't live in this town." And the man said, "I didn't say what church. I want to see you in church." So Bob turns back to his plate and is kind of embarrassed. A little bit later, he returns to talk to the man again. The man's gone. He's not there anymore. Looks all around the restaurant, can't find him. He goes home that night and talks to his wife about what's happened. And they say to themselves, you know, what if this is a message from God? What if this is God calling us? And they change their lives. Well, I'd like to suggest to you that in each of those situations, what you had happening was this. Samuel, Max, Samuel, Betty, Samuel, Bob. In each of those circumstances, God was calling to those three people through the circumstances of their life, through people. God was calling to them, speaking to them. And I'd like to suggest that what this should cause us to do today is to ask ourselves the question, do I believe that God speaks to me, to you? You believe that? That God speaks to you? Now, we know he speaks to us always in the scriptures. Those words, those inspired words of scripture are good for all time, for all people. But based on what he teaches us there, does he speak to us personally in our own set of circumstances, our own lives? I think he does. We just don't hear him. We're like Samuel sometimes. We don't hear. We don't listen. But I think God's speaking to us to comfort us, to encourage us, to give us strength, sometimes to challenge us. We have to listen. We have to believe that he's going to speak to us. And those three cases I gave you are a perfect example of that. So I'd like to suggest this to you. Look at your life. Look at those situations in your life maybe that you've put off. Something you put on the back burner because it was too difficult. You didn't want to deal with it. Maybe it's a person, a certain set of circumstances, somebody you're not doing well with, you just haven't wanted to deal with it. Take the time in the next few days to look at that circumstance of that person again. And when you do it, say this: "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." I look at that person, I look at that set of circumstances. Look at these things. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And then listen. I don't mean that right there and then you're going to hear God speaking in your ear. But over time, maybe the next day, maybe 2 days down the road, what will God put in your heart? What will God put in your mind? Maybe through something someone else says to you. Who knows? But God speaks if we only let him listen, if we only listen to him. So look at those circumstances. Look at that person. Look at that situation and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." See what comes into your heart. Let me give you one, in closing, one personal example of that. When I was studying to be a priest, I was in second theology, which means I had two more years before I would be ordained a priest. I began going through a time of uncertainty, a time of doubting whether I should do this, whether I could be a good priest. I was doubting whether I could, you know, deal with everyday people. Now, by I'm not putting everyday people down. What I'm saying is that when you're in the seminary, day by day you're surrounded by seminarians, right? Other people like yourself. You're not dealing with people like you every single day. So I began questioning, you know, am I going to be able to deal with people? Am I going to be able to preach the gospel well to them? Am I going to be able to teach well? Am I going to be able to help them with their problems? And I just was uncertain about all of those things. I spoke to my spiritual director about it. He assured me not to worry and so forth. But I was worried in questioning and doubting. Praying about it, of course, but anyway. One night in the midst of all this, there's a knock on the door of my room. So I open it up, and standing there is another seminarian. He says to me, "Frank," he says, I'm in charge this year of trying to get seminarians to go into the parish to teach religious education. Would you be interested in teaching the third grade in the parish?" And my initial reaction was to say, I was afraid. I was afraid to say, no, but then I thought to myself, wait a minute. Maybe this is what God wants me to do. So I just kind of, you know, gritted my teeth and said, yes, I'll do it. And it was wonderful. It was a wonderful experience. And all my questions and doubts evaporated. Samuel, Frank, God speaks to us if we let him. We have to listen. We have to put ourselves in a position of listening and let him speak. So, thinking about Max Lucado, thinking about Betty Terry, thinking about Bob Lesnow, maybe thinking about me. Look at your own life. Look at all those circumstances, all those things, and consciously say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And listen. And watch. And see what happens. God bless you.